I plan to begin a new study today and give a brief introduction to the topic and some thoughts on why I've chosen to turn to this subject. I also want to give time. I'm going to be briefer today. I want to give time to pray together, as that seems to have taken a lot of time on other things in recent days, and our prayers together have not been had as much devoted time to that, so I'll be setting aside a time today for that. So I'm introducing today a new subject, the subject of adoption. I want to introduce it just by thinking a little bit about adoption in the natural world and how we adopt certain things. So let's start with something fairly simple. If you were to adopt a stray cat from your neighborhood, what kind of things? Well, there may be some significance to this, even so. We may come back to that. So if you were to adopt a cat, what would you do for that stray cat? Take it to the vet, okay, yeah. Give it some food. Emily?
Play with it.
Yeah, play with it. David?
Adopt it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Give it a place to live. Okay. Well, that's not bad. if you like cats, I guess. So, let's say you adopt a new sports team to cheer for. Okay, so maybe an analogy that others of you might get into. What might you do if you adopt a sports team to cheer for? Probably so. Yeah, coordinate your wardrobe so that's what it looks like. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep, that's right. Oh, the poor Cubs. Yeah. Yeah. The hard luck Cubs. Yes, Mary? If you have an animal, maybe you'd clean up after the animal. If you adopted a team, that might be a little different. So, unless you became the water boy or something. You know. How about if you adopt a child into your family? What things might you care for, Mary? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a legally binding. That's legally binding, unlike the other one's situation.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of effort to adopt. It doesn't usually happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So. Yeah. That child becomes a full member in every sense of the word of that family, and has all of the rights and privileges and responsibilities then of that family. Yeah. Well, those are some things that we know something about experientially, and I'll suggest that we know something about the spiritual adoption that we have from God as well. And in the next several weeks, I want to unfold that and to look at different aspects of our adoption that we have in Jesus Christ. It is a great concept for us to think about adopting a team or an animal or a child. And as great as those subjects are, the spiritual concept of adoption in Christ just blows away anything that we would know here in this life. God the Father takes those who were enemies, or cats, takes those who were unwanted, and children of wrath, and makes us to be His children, His heirs, with all the rights and responsibilities and privileges that a natural-born member of His family has. So all of those things that we said of adoption when we talked of and this life are descriptive of our adoption by the Father. He cares, He loves, He disciplines, He provides, He forgives, and the list goes on. And we'll enjoy in the coming days to just meditate on this subject. So let me give you some thoughts as to why I'd like to treat this subject. Well, you can already tell that, first of all, that it's a rich biblical doctrine. 1 John 3:1, which will be something of a theme verse for this meditation, says this: "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." Now just let that simple verse sink in, and you will begin to see how rich of a doctrine it is. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So the richness of this doctrine invites us to consider what God has done. He has taken a word that is, and a concept that is either reflective of Him or we know from our life, and has filled it with spiritual significance, and that He makes us His children. As we unpack the idea of being adopted, I want us to marvel at the richness of this doctrine, and maybe more precisely, to marvel at God and to marvel at what He has done for us. Secondly, each of these points will be developed at future points. But secondly, just because of the extraordinary contrast that there exists between the one who is adopting and the one who is adopted. And here maybe the cat analogy will come back into play. God is almighty, everlasting, one who is holy. There are some really beautiful concepts that we sang about in the Psalms earlier this afternoon that talk about bringing worship to Him because of who He is and how great He is. And this is the adopter. This is the one who acts to bring us into His presence. The contrast is extraordinary. We are mortal. We are fallen from grace. We are, while fallen from grace, yet lifted to glory. And just a striking contrast between ourselves and God that is answered or solved by His adopting love towards us. We sometimes talk about God stooping down and at the same time lifting us up, and it's this work of God that is highlighted by the contrast and then solved by adoption. Thirdly, I want to take this up because of the hope that it gives to us. I just said that we are lifted to glory, and we do need to be reminded that salvation is the gift of God. baptism reminds us of this, as we celebrated that this morning. And I'm really glad to have had time to baptize Lena this morning to be reminded of God's faithfulness, that we cannot save ourselves, but He has chosen to bring us into His family. You've probably heard the Jungle Doctor tale that I like to tell of the monkey that got stuck in the mud, and how his monkey brother, standing on the bank, told the other little monkey to pull yourself out of the mud. Now, if you can imagine with your feet stuck in the mud and it slowly sucking you down in, imagine trying to pull yourself out of the mud. And in the Jungle Doctor tale, the monkey exhorts his brother stronger and stronger to pull yourself out, and he grabs his tail and tries to yank himself out of the mud. He grabs his whiskers and tries to lift himself out and pull himself up, all to no effect. And eventually, the little monkey is swallowed up by the mud. But that's not the Christian life. We are not swallowed up by our sin. Well, we actually are. We're dead in our sin. And Christ reaches down and He lifts us out of that mud and sets our feet upon the rock, so that that our adoption speaks to the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Related to that is a fourth reason that that I'd like to take up the subject of adoption. And it's because of the oppression of the enemy. We are involved in a spiritual battle. And Satan, the accuser, would rob us of our joy and our strength. I didn't tell Alan that that I thought of Zechariah 3 for the afternoon service as well. But believe me, we didn't compare notes. I was thinking about this in context of Isaiah 52. I knew he was going on to Zechariah 3 from his earlier lectures, but I would encourage you to go and listen to that again this afternoon. In that vision, Zechariah stands accusing the high priest, and there's truth to the accusation that the high priest, and by implication all of God's people in and of ourselves, are filthy without the work of Christ, and these are those who are His chosen people. And that accusation that Satan either whispers in our ears or shouts in our face can be either a subtle or a voracious attack, because we still sin. And the attack of the enemy would make us sad or fearful or speculative about our own relationship with the Lord. And we need the work of Christ, and we need to be reminded that He has adopted us into His family. And because of this great teaching, it gives us hope in the midst of the oppression of the enemy. Fifth and finally then, and as I said, a brief introduction to this topic. Fifthly, I believe that this is instructive on how we live out and experience God's love. The fact that we are adopted means something in this life. And there are two special ways that I have in mind that we'll look at in coming days. First of all, just the personal experience of God's love. We are frail, and we are sometimes far from the Lord in our experience. And the promises of God, and especially His promises of adoption, are ones that speak to our experience of that love of God, the experience of assurance of forgiveness and pardon. Then related to that, in a second way, is is how we treat each other. Because as brothers and sisters in Christ, this subject of adoption will be instructive to us as believers to be an encouragement to one another, to be ones that that remind one another of the inheritance that we have, that we are indeed brothers and sisters in Christ, and through the fellowship of the church and through speaking God's word to each other, there is again an experience of God's love that that leads us. And it's especially this aspect of adoption that that helps us to understand our relationship to one another as we are related to God. So adoption is a word that you can find in the Bible. This is not something that is by any means imposed suggested as a concept to bring to Scripture. It comes right out of the Bible. And I'll give an assignment for you this coming week. If you, especially for the children, if you know what a concordance is, or if you can ask your parents how to use a concordance or a Bible word book, is to find verses in the Scripture that use the word adoption or adopt or any form of that word, and make a list of them just for your own information and for your own study as we as a congregation work together thinking about this rich doctrine of adoption. That's the end of the introduction, and we'll look forward to things coming up in the weeks that